The great end of religion is active obedience to the will of God. True understanding of our ways brings the grand conclusion that man's way ought to be God's way. We are forgiven in order to this. This is a quote coming to you from the pulpit commentary. Now, before getting into this broadcast, I would like to ask you a few questions. Are you aware of the fact that the great end of Christianity is active obedience to the will of God? The great end of Christianity, we're talking about the bottom line, the conclusion, the target, the resolution of Christianity is active obedience, not passive obedience, but active obedience to the will of God, not self-will, not the will of man, but the will of God. Now, let me ask you, do you have a true understanding of your ways? Do you understand that your way ought to be God's way? In this broadcast, we are continuing the theme of resolutions in our new series entitled, In the Beginning Was the Word. In this particular broadcast, we will cover the new subject of obeying the Lord as we deal with resolution number 42, as found in Psalm 119, verse 5, which says, Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Now, notice how the psalmist began this verse. He said, Oh, that. Here is a Hebrew particle that denotes a wish or an earnest desire, a prevailing, constant, uniform desire. It also implies a firm resolution. And in this case, it would be to keep God's statutes. But what's also implied here is the fact that the psalmist is sensible of his inability to keep God's commands. And by those words, oh, that, he's praying for grace, for direction, for assistance from God, because he knows that he can't command his own thoughts. He can't raise his own affections. He can't incline his own heart. So he's crying out, Oh, that, God, give me grace, direction, assistance. The treasury of David said this, Oh, that my ways, it were well if all who hear and read the word would copy this example and turn all that they hear into prayer. We should have more keepers of the statutes if we had more who sighed and cried after grace to do so. Do you sigh and cry after grace to obey what you read in God's word? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. He said, my ways. What was he talking about? What does the Bible mean when it talks about the ways of man? Well, it's referring to your thoughts, your affections, your inclinations, your notions. It could also denote the course of life that you're on, your aim of life, the supreme purpose of your soul. So he's saying, oh, that my ways were directed, were established, were settled to keep the law of God, to live in accordance with God's law. Now, you may be thinking, well, I have the true understanding. I understand that my ways ought to be God's way. And I have a desire, just like the psalmist, Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. I have that desire. I want my ways to be settled and established to keep God's statutes. But you might be thinking, I fall short. I see my inability here and there to do this. How do I get to the great end, the target, the resolution of active obedience? And in this Bible message, I want to offer you two directives from God's word. The first one is consider your ways. The second one is consider God's omniscience. How do you get to the great end of active obedience? You consider your ways. And we're going to look at several scriptures that deal with considering your ways. Haggai 1, 5, and 7, it says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Psalm 119, 59, the psalmist said, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies." Lamentations 3, 4, 40, the prophet Jeremiah said, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." Okay, so consider your ways. That's the first one. And the verse of scripture, the verses that we're looking at, first of all, are from Haggai 1, verses 5 and 7. The Lord said, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And this is in reference to considering the disappointment of the worldly life. But I want to show you that this theme of consideration by the spiritual mind can be found throughout the Bible. There are several instances where God calls on you to consider something. For instance, in Deuteronomy 8:5, God's saying, "Consider the purpose of chastisement." It says, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord thy God chastens thee." Also in Deuteronomy 32:29, God wants you to consider the end of life. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. In 1 Samuel 12, 24, God saying, "Consider the blessings of providence. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you." And then in Job 37, 14, we have God saying, "Consider his wonderful works. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." But here in Haggai, we see God saying to the people of God through the prophet, "Consider your ways." What he was saying was, give careful thought, think carefully, set your heart on your ways. Now, the ways can refer to your affections, your thoughts, your works. Set your heart upon your ways. What have you been doing? What are you doing? Where have they led you to? Where will they lead you to? Don't think of them lightly. Don't let it just be a passing thought, but fix your mind on your ways. Ponder well the course that you have taken and the success of it. And recognize, is there anything evil in your doings? Recognize any evil doings and then amend whatever you find amiss in them. How do you get to the great end of active obedience? You consider your ways. As far as the disappointment of the worldly life, but then you also think on your ways. And the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 59, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. When we go over to Proverbs 12:5, we see that Solomon is saying the thoughts of the righteous are right. What he was saying there was the thoughts of the righteous are directed and influenced by the grace of God. They're formed according to the rule of God's word. That's how your thoughts should be as a Christian, as a righteous man or woman. Your thoughts should be directed and influenced by the grace of God. They should be formed according to the rule of God's word. Fill your heart and mind with God's word and your thoughts will be right. Listen to what the pulpit commentary said. As we think, we feel. By the thoughts admitted to our minds and entertained there are determined our loves and our hatreds. Life, therefore, is ultimately built on thought. What are we thinking? This is the vital question. Now, the thoughts of the righteous, the upright, the good, the true man are right or just. And here we have it in Psalm 119, verse 59. The psalmist is saying, I thought on my ways. I thought on my ways. He was examining his lifestyle. The word in the Hebrew for thought there is, it signifies he thought on his ways accurately, advisedly, seriously, studiously, curiously. He had a fixed abiding thought. There's an allusion here to those who work embroidery that were, you're very exact to cover the least flaw. You thought on your ways. I thought on my ways. Now notice it doesn't say that he thought on his wealth, not on what he had, but what he did. Because what you do will follow you into the next world. What you have will be left behind. He thought on his ways. He thought exactly and curiously on all his purposes and practices, on all his doings and sayings, on his words and his works. The treasury of David said, right thinking upon our ways will suggest a practical change. And it certainly did that for the psalmist, because he thought on his ways, and the Bible tells us, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. He thought on his ways seriously, and he found that there were certain places where his conduct was amiss. So he altered it. He changed his course and turned his feet into the way of God's commandments. Now notice what it says. He did it. His own agency was employed here. I thought on my ways. I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. He didn't wait for God to do it. He did it. He paused, he reflected, and he changed his course of life. And this just showed he was under the influence of divine grace. He turned his life, his course toward God. He didn't go toward the world. He didn't go toward some inordinate affection, some person or thing. He turned himself toward God, toward the word of God. How do you get to the great end of active obedience? You consider your ways. As far as the disappointment of the worldly life, you think on your ways with the intention to turn or make what's wrong right. And then you search and try your ways. You involve yourself in self-examination. And this idea of self-examination can be found in the scriptures. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself. Then in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Okay, so we go to Lamentations 3:40, where the prophet Jeremiah said, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us search, he was saying, make an accurate inquiry into your ways, into your steps, the ends that you're aiming at, the rules that you're going by. Examine your thoughts, your words, your actions, your normal everyday conduct, your habitual actions, and then try your ways. Try them. What that means is compare them to God's ways as prescribed in his word. And if there's anything that's contrary to God's word, turn again to the Lord. Return to him. Don't go halfway, but all the way. Let your self-examination end in reformation. How do you get to the great end of active obedience? You consider your ways, the disappointment of the worldly life. You think on your ways with the intention to turn from any evil ways. And you search and try your ways. You involve yourself and self-examination. You examine yourself. And lastly, you consider God's omniscience. In Psalm 119, 168, the psalmist said, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. He was saying, it's working. It's working. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies. I am obeying God. And he gives the reason, for all my ways are before thee. This concept of our ways, man's ways being before God, can be found throughout the scriptures. Let me give you some examples. Job 34:21, it says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all his goings. Let me say that again. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all his goings. Psalm 1:6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Psalm 139:3, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. Jeremiah 16:17, for mine eyes, this is God talking, mine eyes are upon all their ways, they are not hid from my face. Jeremiah 32:19, the prophet is speaking about God, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men. So here the psalmist said in Psalm 119, 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. That the word kept there is the Hebrew shamar. I have kept carefully, diligently, studiously, exactly. I have kept your precepts and your testimonies. And he gives the reason or the motive of his obedience there. It's the consideration of God's omniscience. He says, for all my ways are before thee. The eyes of God had so strong an influence upon him, his heart and life, and it caused him to be more attentive to the word as a rule of his actions. He was aware of the fact that nothing he did, said, or thought was hidden from God. Matthew Henry said, the consideration of this, that God's eye is upon us at all times, should make us very careful in everything to keep his commandments. Okay, so you realize that your ways ought to be God's ways, and you have a desire. I want my ways to be directed to keep God's statutes. But you see, you fall short. You see your inability. So you say, you're asking, how do I get to the great end, the target, the resolution of active obedience? Well, you follow two directives as given by God's word. You consider your ways. You think on your ways. You search and try your ways. And if you see anything that's contrary to the word of God, you change your ways. You fix it. You turn to God. Turn around. Turn back to God. And you also consider God's omniscience, that everything you do, say, think is under the eyes of God. He sees it all. And if you will follow these two directives as given by God's word, consider your ways, consider God's omniscience, then you will get to the great end, the target, the resolution of active obedience. Our time is up for today's broadcast, but I encourage you, stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of resolutions as found in the book of Psalms. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying that this message will spark a mighty reformation in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.